Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off. You know, this is not going to be for the faint of heart.
Even if you didn't hear him say it, maybe you just saw the words on a piece of paper and didn't know which coach was saying them, you would know it was Tomlin.
It's put up and shut up time.
I don't fear sudden death.
We have an entire library of Mike Tomlin quips. Fantastic.
They moved their units.
It's going to take a ridiculous effort.
We make no excuses. We seek no comfort.
I just appreciate his vocabulary. It's so unique.
Never say never, but never.
Boy, you better knuckle up.
He didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin.
I'm not asking you to go out there and be Tom Brady on your first day. I'm just asking you to not pee on yourself. That's all we need from you, and you're ahead of the game.
The cut and paste component was the cut and paste component.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It gives you that tingle to shoot a hostage, if you will.
Let's talk about Colton, who's filling in tonight as our producer search rages on. So Colton is with us tonight, and then also to wrap up the work week. And Colton, little known fact about him, unless you spend some time with him, then it's not little known. He is a Steelers fan. In fact, he is sporting a Steelers hat. How long have you been a Steelers fan, Colton?
Well, since I just turned 27 on the 15th, 27 years since birth.
You were born into it?
I was wrapped up in a terrible towel in the nursery.
Were you really?
Yes, I was.
Oh, and is that in Pennsylvania or somewhere else?
No, I am Jersey, born and raised.
Gotcha. Okay, so family happened to be Steelers fans.
Yep, my father.
I like it. Okay, very cool. So for that reason, he has very high expectations. And every time I bring up Mike Tomlin and how much I love Mike Tomlin, adore his press conferences, but also really love Mike Tomlin as a coach and a man and a leader of men, I get some sort of smirk or eye roll or from Colton. It's a sound about like that. Why is that?
I just think he's disappointed. He's been in Pittsburgh for a long time now, and I get change is not always a good thing. You see around the league that teams jump from coach to coach, and it epically fails and splat on their face. I just think it's time for Pittsburgh to move on from Tomlin. Again, could it be my opinion on Tomlin? I think he's underachieved with the rosters that he's had over the years. He was a defensive coach, and the years of the Killer Bees, the defense was horrendous, and it's like, what are we doing? Why is it so bad? So not to go into a Steelers rant, but that's just my take on it. And again, Andy Reid was great in Philadelphia, and the Eagles cut bait with him, and it worked out for both parties. So for the people that think Tomlin's a great coach, you can let Tomlin go. You could trade him away, get something for him, and he does great somewhere else.
And I'll take him. Today.
That's what I'm saying. I would trade Tomlin. You can get a first-round pick for him. Look what the compensation was. It John Gruden, the compensation for him with the trade? Sean Payton, I'm thinking of. So you can get compensation for Tomlin. Again, and for the people that think he's an elite special coach, it can work out for both parties. You saw it with the Eagles and the Chiefs. So that's kind of my thing on Tomlin.
Mm, okay, so if not Tomlin, then whom?
See, that's a question that I always get from my father, because he goes, who are you going to hire? I'm like, I don't know. That's not my job to tell you they're going to hire.
Oh, okay. You just don't want the one you have, but you don't need to fill his shoes.
Again, right. If you're going to ask me to do a whole full research, I mean, for me, if you were to trade Tomlin, I'm going to go after Jim Harbaugh, of course. I'm a Michigan man. I would love to get Jim Harbaugh in Pittsburgh. I think he's a great coach and exceeds and, again, he changes programs. I think he would change the Steelers.
Well, unfortunately, he has another job. We're going to hear from him coming up. So then, how do you like, if not Tomlin, how do you, they have a new GM, relatively new GM, and how do you like the move to retrack and reshuffle the quarterback room?
I'm happy.
What?
To retread the new quarterback room, I'm happy. What, you're talking about Russell Wilson, who had 26 touchdown passes last year? If the Steelers had that, the Steelers easily won a playoff game last year. Might even go farther than that. You had Mason Rudolph competing in Buffalo last season. They threw Russell Wilson to the side like he was the problem there in Denver. He had 26 touchdowns. I think he was one shy of Patrick Mahomes, who everyone talks about, this special talent. Russell Wilson had 26 touchdown passes last year with 7 picks.
Well, you
I would die for that.
Stats only tell part of the story.
Yeah, we're talking about Sean Payton that just desperately drafted a quarterback and Bo Nix set. Yeah, a lot of people don't rate as a first-round quarterback. Okay, I'll find out with Denver how that works out. Sean Payton's fired in a few years, and it's like, wow, they failed again. That's my thing.
Well, no, you brought up Patrick Mahomes, and I'm telling you that's only part of the story. I mean, you can look at Pat's numbers, but what Pat brings to the table is a hell of a lot more than touchdown passes.
Oh, of course. Again, I'm not comparing the two. That's an awful comparison. You're talking about the best quarterback in football compared to Russell Wilson. But, again, for the people throwing around Russell Wilson like he's awful, if the Steelers had that number at quarterback, 26 touchdowns last season from their quarterback, Steelers are probably winning the AFC North because it was there until they botched it away with the losses to Arizona and New England and so on and so forth. So for me, I'm glad to have Russ. I would like to see Justin Fields win the job with him being younger, but the fact that Omar Khan was able to wheel and deal, get Russell Wilson for pennies on the dollar,
well,
Justin
that,
Fields
that
making nothing.
Impressive.
So
yes.
I'm very happy what they did and the way Kenny handled his business. See you later. Go sit on the pine in Philly.
I am just now noticing that you're wearing a George Pickens t-shirt.
I am indeed.
I didn't even
George
know
Pickens
there were
t-shirt.
George Pickens t-shirts.
Oh, so Amy, come on. That's a low blow for one of the best up-and-coming wideouts in football.
I do like to deliver low blows to the young dudes that I work with, and they're all in. Just wait. Well, I guess it doesn't. I don't know this for sure, but if you work in this business long enough, some of that passion tends to wane. It's not nearly as much fun to be a sports fan when sports is your job. However, I'm glad that you still have the passion, though it seems like more consternation at this point than excitement over the Steelers. It's also the toughest division in football, so there's that too. But I do adore the AFC North, and I love Mike Tomlin, and I'm okay that Russell Wilson is not part of the Denver Broncos anymore. I wish for him that the partnership with the Steelers works out and he returns more to the Seattle version of Russ than the one of the last couple of years. And I hated how the Broncos treated him. He deserves something much better than what Sean Payton did to him last year. So for all that reason, that's what I'm saying. I would take Mike Tomlin over Sean Payton yesterday.
Well, that's my point.
As in yesterday.
Threw away Russell Wilson to the side like he was the whole problem in Denver. I think there's a lot more issues in Denver than just Russell Wilson.
You
Sorry
think?
That they paid him. And
you think?
Sean Payton wasn't too happy that they paid him. That's not my problem, Sean. You deal with what you got, and now you got Bo Nix. Good luck. This is all you now.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We are going to hear from Mike Tomlin and Russell Wilson and a decision by the Steelers not to pick up the fifth-year option for Najee Harris. So he was responding to that, too. So Steelers are in camp now with the veterans. But he mentioned Jim Harbaugh. Leave it to Jim to describe his first day in Chargers training camp like a rebirth experience. Only
the way, Jim. The way it feels, I mean, feels like New Year's Day, you know? Feels like being born. Feels like coming out of the womb, you know? It's like you're in there and it's comfortable and it's safe and now you're out, you're born, the lights are on, it's bright, you got chaos, people looking at you, people talking at you, and just feels good to, you know, have it happen.
So now we have Mike Tomlin and Dan Campbell and Mike McDaniel, and we also have a Jim Harbaugh, who is a tremendous quote pretty much every time there's a microphone in front of his face. But I love how quickly he goes from New Year's Day to being born. He wanted to give you two metaphors, and they couldn't be more opposite ends of the spectrum. But I love how much description he gives to the experience of being born. I'm quite certain he doesn't remember his own, but maybe he's taking that from the experience of watching his kids being born. Anyway, he is a hoot. So yes, we'd be hard pressed to decide who's the best press conference or the best quote among NFL head coaches. And there are others too. Now that Bill Belichick is out of the way, you have to add even Gerard Mayo, though he's not nearly as colorful. That's the thing about Mike and now Jim, who's been in the NFL before. We maybe get a Jim who cares even less than he did when he was in San Francisco. So that was his first pro job. I think he gives even two fewer bleeps, if you know what I mean, now that he's in Los Angeles. Now, he's really happy. But after what he went through at Michigan and after the down years, the years of trying to put everything together, finally winning a championship, also the suspension of last year, and we could go on and on about the evolution of Jim Harbaugh, but it's very clear that he is unencumbered by what people think of him and will say whatever he wants to say. And so that does tend to make for a more colorful experience as well. So yeah, between Dan Campbell, who swears that he's not a lunatic, and Mike Tomlin, who just is a man who thinks about the world in completely different terms, also thinks in word pictures. And then Jim Harbaugh added to the mix with Mike McDaniel, who's kind of a nut, actually. He was asked about Tua Tagovailoa and his situation and whether or not Tua would be practicing and what the plan will be for Tua until he gets a new contract. And yeah, he's just always kind of wide ranging, and he takes the scenic route to every answer.
There's two parts to it. You know, I think it's important to acknowledge that Tua is in the midst of a contract negotiation. That's important to him and the football team. That being said, we communicate very well, and it's very fluid. We're taking it day by day. Today I expect it to be kind of like OTAs, and we'll move on from there.
That actually is one, I'll be perfectly honest, I edited a little at the beginning, because the way he started that answer was about 15, 20 seconds of stuff that just didn't need to be included. He sometimes takes a minute to land the plane. So yes, Mike McDaniel, he's a goof and he enjoys being a goof. And then you have Dan Campbell, who is all intensity and yet is so entertaining. He's funny and he's honest and he's authentic and he's passionate about what he does, and he is a guy that comes up with all kinds of little drops and phrases that we have to use again. So hold that up next to Jim Harbaugh, who compares his first day of Chargers training camp to being born, and then a Dan Campbell who would tell you, number one, he's not a lunatic, and number two, our hair is going to be on fire, we're going to bite kneecaps and all that jazz. And now he's coming off a season in which the Lions finally realized some of their potential. They've built a really solid foundation. Once again, they're in a white-hot spotlight that is going to be on them all season long. Why? Because they're no longer going to catch anyone by surprise. They're not the darling Detroit Lions anymore. Now they're a contender in a weaker NFC, a conference in which they're expected to get back to the championship game. And so he is not resting on anything they did last season, because he remembers what it was like to win 12 games and then, this is not with the Lions, obviously, and then the next season be below 500, and he's determined that it's not going to happen with Detroit.
Everything that had made you what you are, you went away from. Because you know what? We'll be okay. We got the same guys, you know? And that was a lesson learned for me. Because we were average. We went 7-9 the next year after going in 12-4. And I will never forget that, ever. So we are not going to lose our identity. That is the most important thing to me, and I won't sacrifice it for anyone or anything. I told the team that, and they know that.
Yeah, that's frustrating for sure when you feel like you have all the pieces back in place, and yet the attitude and the approach are not the same. Maybe you're feeling like you can coast through, or you don't have to take every opponent seriously. Or, hey, since we did as well as we did last year, we don't have to work quite as hard because we're starting in that place at 12-4, as opposed to starting from scratch and starting fresh. So I love what he has to say about how the approach, the attitude, the focus, even in training camp and preseason, will not change.
It's all about the work. We don't live off reputation. We live off of work. And that's what's gotten us where we're at. It's been a long, hard road to get to where we're at right now. And there's a There's a price to be paid, and so we got to go pay it again. That's the message, and it'll always be the message.
Relatively tame Dan Campbell, but with the passion that he brings, you can understand why the Lions would run through a wall for him. And there's a lot to like about the Lions coming off last season. The fan base is revved up. And you think about the NFC North, they are the team to beat. Yes, the Packers surged second half of the season, won a playoff game. You would expect them to be able to build on that as long as they can get Jordan Love's contract situation set. You would also think that the Bears would take a step forward, but rookie quarterbacks giveth and they taketh away. And then thinking about the Minnesota Vikings and where they are, yes, they have Justin Jefferson, best receiver in the NFL, and they do have some other quality pieces. The issue, of course, is that right now their starting quarterback is Sam Darnold. Possibly. And then they want to get J.J. McCarthy ready. So that's clearly a weak link for them after having had Kirk Cousins for the last few handful of years. And speaking of the Vikings coming up, you'll hear from Jordan Addison, who is glad to be in camp, but is answering questions about his DUI arrest. And so we'll be dropping in football, still have Mike Tomlin to come. He's laughing at the media. That's my favorite, is when he laughs. And Todd Bowles talking about his favorite Warrior, Baker Mayfield. It's good stuff. Good to drop in football because it makes me happy. I hope that it makes you happy as well. We're just getting started, though. It's end of July, and I try to pace myself because the Hall of Fame game is a week from Thursday. A week. It's a week, you guys. So we're just over a week away from the Hall of Fame game. And then we'll kind of slowly rev up to the other preseason games. I know a big portion of it is just don't get hurt. Don't lose key players or any players, really. If you can get through a training camp and a preseason without any season-ending injuries, that right there puts you ahead of the game. How much will we see guys play, starters play? That always remains to be seen. But yeah, we'll get a taste of it, and we get the guys out there on the field. I don't know if you guys were watching. Was it Friday of last week, I think? Maybe. Maybe Friday was the weekend. I know I wasn't. Oh, I think it was actually Sunday, where Patrick Mahomes was chucking and ducking to his receivers downfield. And just to watch him, I know he's wearing a red jersey, well, an even redder jersey. He's wearing a redder jersey, and he's connecting with a rookie when it comes to routes on air. So we're not talking about winning a Super Bowl. That'll come later, probably. But what we are talking about is just seeing in the summertime, the dog days of summer, these guys go back to work. And I know a lot of us are really excited about that. It's really not that far away, but I don't want to miss what's in the here and now because I'm so excited about football. Also, once football starts, I'm not joking about this. It does literally run my life. I'm on a football clock from early September all the way through early February. So I need to make sure I take advantage of these next few weeks, 5 weeks or so, where football is not yet running my life. It would just run my life, other sports, you know. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio and our Facebook page. Who has the best hair in sports in honor of Joe Burrow and his new blonde do? What am I going to do next? Oh, actually, we'll do a little basketball just quickly because, first of all, Joel Embiid is a hoot. And he maybe has given me the topic for tomorrow night show question, but also Kevin Durant being a question mark for Team USA. And even though he was able to practice on Wednesday, what does that mean for the roster? I think the rosters have to be finalized this week, Friday maybe, or maybe it was already this week. But I know that they had up until kind of the start of the games or right on the cusp of their first game to be able to finalize rosters. And you want to be able to have, you know, different pieces that you can plug and play. But if one of those pieces is not healthy, that's why they swapped out Kawhi Leonard, because as much as Kawhi is great and all, if he's not available, it kind of defeats the purpose. It's not just a popularity contest. They're actually trying to win a gold medal. All right. Who has the best hair in sports on either of our social media sites? Good to have you with us. If it's your Thursday, well, happy morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I still can't get over this Canadian soccer team situation. The FIFA Disciplinary Committee is investigating against Canada Soccer and several individuals, including the head coach, as well as a couple of other staff members. You've already got a couple who've been sent home from that staff. And this is after New Zealand's Olympic Committee told the IOC that suspicious drones were flying over their team practices on two occasions. The head coach of Canada is saying, irrespective of the details, I'm ultimately accountable for this team. By no means did I direct the individuals. I'm still learning the details, and obviously all of this is unfolding. But she says, I think the important thing right now is to look forward, put the actions in place, and take the sanctions. Goodness. They're not even denying it. She's not denying it, just saying she had nothing to do with it, and she did not tell these staffers what to do. I don't know. They might have gotten the idea from Belichick. It's a 2024 way to spy on your opponents. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Team USA in basketball, both men and women, gearing up for the debut that they will make in France. And both teams are expected to have some tough competition. But I think more people would tell you that the Americans are a favorite on the women's side. The men's side, you're talking about NBA players that are spread among these international teams. And a lot of times they have the advantage because these teams play together more often. I know the NBA players would be in the United States with their clubs in season, but otherwise you've got the guys that aren't in the NBA who will routinely be together and playing together. And so it's a little more cohesive and they know each other pretty well. In some cases, they've been together for years and years. Still though, Team USA is expected to, if not win the gold medal, compete for the gold medal because of the collection of talent, including now Steph Curry, who makes his Olympic debut. I'm really excited for him and for this opportunity in his mid-30s. So what we've been asking or what we've been waiting on is whether or not Kevin Durant would be part of the final team roster. He did practice on Wednesday and at this point has not played for the Americans. Remember, they were in, they were in Vegas, then they were in Abu Dhabi, then they were in London for all the different run-ups to the Olympics, and he's been with them. He's just been unable to practice. Well, he was able to get out there on Wednesday, and the questions were posed to both Steve Kerr, Andrew Holiday, and others about whether or not he would be included on that final Olympic roster.
There's no thought of replacing Kevin.
That's Kevin Durant, my boy. What are we talking about? That's KD. Nah, he need to be out there.
So right now the plan, according to Kerr, is that he's got to practice a few times, he's got to have a scrimmage, and then maybe he's available. So he's officially listed as day-to-day. The first Olympic game for the team comes up Sunday against Serbia. Remember, they scrimmaged, practiced, ran full court against Serbia going back to, I think that was in Abu Dhabi. Go ahead, you can say it, whatever it is that you're... Okay. So Colton and I having a side conversation here. They've got their first game Sunday against Serbia, and they'll have a contact practice coming up on Thursday in Paris. And so maybe that's another opportunity for Kevin Durant to prove that he can go even with his calf strain. I'm excited for Team USA in basketball, in soccer. Though, if you didn't hear, the men's soccer team already had its first game against the host nation, and it did not go well.
Chatard's pass there, intercepted, but it falls the way of Lacazette. Elise can be a danger from there! That's why! Michael Elise Super goal! And France double their lead.
It's kind of a tough draw to have to start out against the host nation, though I don't believe that there are huge expectations for the United States men in France. Now, this is soccer, not the World Cup teams. This is completely different. It's a younger team, and they've already gotten underway. It's a good opportunity for them. In no way would you ever, if you're a member of that team, think that it's not worth it, because these are all young guys, in some cases teenagers, and they lost to the host nation with all of that that home field advantage and just the excitement of the crowd behind them. You can hear on NBC Sports, it was really a second half in which France just flexed its muscles and kind of pulled away. So the senior players for France, they're the ones that are out there on the field, whereas for Team USA, you're talking about a lot of junior players. But still, it's their first Olympic appearance in the sport since 2008, and they have an opportunity here to maybe catch some teams off guard. And I think if we're watching this team, and it's again, it's a players that are under 23. If we're watching this team and how they do battle against some of the others in the Olympics, maybe there's some hope to be found. If they can come up with a couple of wins, or maybe they can get out of the group stage, whatever it is. Right now, the team that's headed to the World Cup, not that the roster is completely set, but the World Cup group is right there, the select, and they don't have a coach, and it's extraordinary and also frustrating that it's been 2 weeks since they bowed out of Copa in a blaze of not glory, just flamed out, and still no coach. Greg Berhalter let go and still no coach. And there have been different names that are tossed around, but there's still a ship without a rudder. And that really bothers me. You would think there would be a sense of urgency, but honestly, a lot of the other great coaches, they're either coaching the Olympics or they're just coming off the Euro Championships or Copa themselves. And yeah, if I talk more about it, I get very frustrated. My blood starts to boil, so I probably shouldn't. So instead, yay, Team USA. Fight, fight, fight. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Seeing a bunch of your answers coming in when it's best hair in sports. There's a lot of different athletes that you can choose from, both men and women. And we're going to go best hair, not worst hair, because let's be positive. Why not? Let's accentuate the positive. Yeah, I'm really impressed with how many of you are saying Troy Polamalu and sending me, I had no idea. Well, I shouldn't say that. I, of course, would have told you there were plenty of photos and GIFs and memes of Troy Polamalu with all of his hair. Oscar Gamble is another popular answer. Mike goes with Clay Matthews. He's on our Facebook page. Let's see. Dylan Dean Curley, the University of Tennessee. Who else is here? Alexi Lawless got a vote from David on Facebook. He did when he was playing. I guess it's cut short now, but it's the same color. But he used to have the flowing locks. They're kind of partially tamed and red and all over the place. So yeah, good answers on our Facebook page. And then I just got another one on Facebook, or I'm sorry, on Twitter that I had forgotten about, but I think it's a great answer. Paul says, who could forget Birdman, Chris Anderson, for great hair? He did a lot of interesting shapes and designs with his hair, but I got to be honest, who would really notice his hair much when you're looking at all of his full body tattoos that were in full color, in living color? They were kind of arresting and attention grabbing, and so I think the hair maybe didn't get as many clicks, if you will, didn't get as much attention. So best hair in sports. We were getting a few answers for the AL East player that Colton had come up with. I was going to go with Gunnar Henderson, and then you said shortstop. And so it's obviously not Gunnar Henderson, though I do think he's got some pretty great hair. Is it Bo Bichette?
You'd be correct. It is Bo Bichette.
It is Bo Bichette. I mean, that kind of goes along with his dad, too. It's just, it's a thing in the Bichette family. And I say, if you've got hair like that, you should flaunt it. So, yes, best hair in sports, male, female. Actually, if you want to guess Ugga or Bevo, you can certainly guess those. Any mascots if you'd like as well. All right, coming up, mention Jordan Addison speaking to the media after his DUI arrest and more from the world of football because it's camping season. Who are waking up at this moment? A lot of times, producer Jay will just blast crazy music in these final 2 hours of the show, and I feel like it's his proverbial middle finger to anyone who is allowed to sleep while we have to work. But Colton is going with some smooth music. It's good. It's something that maybe will ease you into your Thursday. So he's a little kinder than, well, I have nothing to do with the music. Every now and then I'll ask for a song, and a lot of times the producers just ignore me because, you know, it's not like it's my show or anything. So that might need to be a requirement. As we were telling Ryan on the last show, Colton, Ryan has this dubious interaction with me from the very first time that I ever met him. I had made muffins, really proud of myself, my first time making muffins, and I had extras. So I offered him a muffin. And first of all, he didn't say hello or good morning or anything like that. He just said no. And he looked like a deer in the headlights. And so, you know, that's not a great first impression. But we've had it out. We've had the conversation about it. And the other thing is he insists, this might be a Gen Z thing, he insists that boneless wings are the same thing as buffalo wings. I'm like, nope, nope, nope. First of all, they're not wings. Well, same thing, same concept. Nope, nope, nope. Anyway, so on the food page, we definitely are not the same, which is okay. I allow for other ideas. But yeah, he swears that I scared him by offering him a muffin. Are you afraid when people offer you food? It's not like I'm some bag lady on the street.
Again, I'm very similar. I'm not going to jump on people offering me food, but like, I know you're a good baker. You've brought in your cookies around Christmas time, and I know you and Jay used to do the old, what was it? What'd you guys do?
Chubby bunny. But you don't eat the marshmallows in that case. Not part of the contest. We did not actually do a chubby bunny world championship this year. So when we get back to it in 2025 or maybe later this year, it could provide a bit of a comic relief. We're going to have to find some new peeps because, yeah, pretty much everyone that did it is now gone, except for me. I'm still here. But if you're missing some Chubby Bunny comedy, you can find it on our YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. We're going to work in our way through some of the top NFL storylines even early in camp. And gosh, next hour, Saquon Barkley. Just interesting to hear various versions of his story about the breakup with the Giants and now being with the Eagles. And also, beware. When your team is on Hard Knocks, you better beware what you say and when and how if you're at the facilities, because they don't need to tell you if you're on camera. Once those waivers are signed, they're allowed to use whatever it is that they want. So kind of an interesting admission from Saquon Barkley about a conversation he had with the Giants GM. Also, while we're talking New York football, Aaron Rodgers speaking for the first time to the media since his Egyptian vacation. I don't think he's going to apologize. I'm not going to hold my breath, actually, that he'll apologize to anyone. That seems not to be part of the Aaron Rodgers playbook in any way, shape, or form. On Twix, A-Law Radio, and our Facebook page, we're asking you who has the best hair in sports in honor of one Joe Burrow. Again, A-Law Radio or our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jordan Addison, he was arrested for suspicion of driving under the influence of alcohol before training camp began. And what we heard from the Vikings coach and GM is Jordan is such a character guy that this bothers him far more than it bothers anyone else. He's much harder on himself. We're going to support Jordan. All of the things that you would expect that they would say in front of the microphones. But to have Jordan there at training camp himself and to be answering the questions, the one thing he wanted to make very clear is that this was a really tough time for him and that it was a one-time thing.
I'm just blessed to be here in front of you guys. This is probably the most peace I felt just being out here with my teammates. And, you know, they've been walking with me. They've had their arms around me the whole time, the whole situation. So, you know, really, I'm just blessed to be here right now.
I would say so. I would say that's an understatement. And I said it earlier in the week, I guess it was earlier this week when we heard from Kevin O'Connell, that I am flabbergasted. I don't know that anyone still uses that word. I'm nearly speechless. Well, I could say speechless, but that's obviously not true. That would be bad radio. I'm blown away that any NFL player would get behind the wheel under the influence of alcohol, considering what happened with Henry Ruggs. I can't believe that that isn't the cautionary tale to end all of this, especially when NFL players have access to free rides anytime they want. That is a service that the league provides. So he was arrested earlier this month on suspicion of DUI, and Wednesday he spoke publicly about it for the first time, and he does say that coming out of it, out of this situation, he was not expecting to receive the support that he has from both his teammates and coaches. He actually says, I was surprised by the support that I received. And I appreciate that he's always, he's also adamant that this is not typical of him and he's learned his lesson.
Just take it one day at a time. You know what I'm saying? I'm putting one foot in front of the other. And like I said, I'm just going to come out here and score touchdowns for my team and just be a great teammate, be a great son, be a great brother, and just keep learning from my mistakes. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got it all figured out right now, but, you know, I'm just going to keep moving forward.
Now, I didn't hear the entire, I wouldn't really call it a press conference, the entire body of remarks from him. But as I'm reading through them, he does say he'll own up to everything. And he says, anything that comes my way is meant to happen or is deserved. And I am sure behind closed doors, there were some tougher moments. Let's hope some soul-searching moments. But it's not the first time, which is the part that makes me nervous. When he says it's not going to happen again, well, he was in trouble a year beforehand because he was driving 140 miles per hour on a Minnesota highway. And maybe that didn't have anything to do with alcohol, but it certainly was reckless. In that case, this goes back to the summer of 23. So July is not a good month for Jordan Addison behind the wheel. He agreed to plead guilty to misdemeanor speeding, and then the reckless driving charge got dismissed, and he paid his fines and he went on his way. But now it happens again that he's behind the wheel, engaging in behavior that he shouldn't, whether speeding or whether driving under the influence. And this time he gets arrested. So there's a pattern of behavior as much as he can say that this is not ever going to happen again. And maybe this is the wake-up call? But yeah, according to the police reports, this was in L.A., a cop found his white Rolls Royce blocking a lane of a highway. Addison was asleep behind the wheel, and he was then arrested, released from custody a few hours later. At this point, we don't know what his blood alcohol level was. It's not public, or it wasn't public at the time that he was arrested. But the other thing that just makes me so sad is that it wasn't even a week. His DUI wasn't even a week after one of his teammates, a rookie teammate, was killed, along with a couple of other young people in a car accident where authorities believe alcohol was involved. Now, they're still working on that investigation, but the Vikings not only sent a contingent to Kyree Jackson's funeral, but they also paid for the funeral costs. And so he loses a teammate, albeit one he probably didn't know that well, if at all, but he loses a teammate, and then he gets behind the wheel, allegedly with alcohol in his system. And of course, he's got to believe that there could be discipline from the NFL pending the legal process, but also that he was really lucky. He didn't kill himself or someone else. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.